This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you! Yeah you, in the car! Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And if you've just listened, tuned in, you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Mac and myself, Tass. Mac, are you going to introduce our next guest?
I am. Peter Khalil is the Federal Labor Member for Wills, and it's his first time actually in a Joy studio, but in the new Joy Studios at the Victorian Pride Centre.
And he's your local member.
He's my local member, that's right. So, but he's actually in the seat of McNamara at the moment. So.
I know, I've actually already checked to see whether he's my local member of Parliament. No? That you're visiting his electorate?
I haven't called Josh. I'm going to call him as soon as I get out of this garage. He'll feel guilty.
He'll be outside with a cattle prod. So Peter, Federal Parliament, it's the winter recess.
Yep.
You know, when we've spoken before, you know, and quite rightly, you know, you've raised some points about the vaccine rollout. Mm. I've got to, and I know you want to talk about local manufacturing, and I have an idea here, but we saw in the last figures we most recently had that apart from Australians returning from overseas, I think it might have been April, might have been May, there were 20,000 other people who came to Australia. Now, Australian Border Force, you know, some figures came from those little slips that you fill in when you come to Australia. Now, they've said, well, that's not actually an accurate reflection. Okay, well, why do you have people fill them in then? But these people had to have a permit. So that 20,000 is broken down into categories. Do you have any handle on who these 20,000 people are?
Macca, I can only guess from what I've seen in the reports. There was all these media about Hollywood actors coming in to, and hiding out in Byron Bay and filming something, you know, in Queensland or whatever.
And people get all these work. Lord Sugar.
Yes. So I assume they're people who are coming in on business. I can't do that. I did my fingers in parentheses. Yeah. You can't do that on radio, can you?
Well, you actually work. Have to tell our listeners that that's what you're doing.
I assume that there are people coming in on different work permits for different business purposes and so on, which it kind of befuddles me because we've still got 35,000 Australians trying to get back home. And yet somehow it's been managed that certain people can come in on these exemptions. And so I think that's very unfair. In many respects, to the people, to the Aussies who are trying to get back home.
Yeah. It doesn't – 20,000 is a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
And, okay, you know, making a film, doing a stupid, ridiculous, pointless reality television show, okay, creates employment. But 20,000?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's a lot of people.
There may be in that cohort – and let's try and be at least fair on this – there may be at that cohort – a lot of people have to come in and out for
Joe Hockey has to come back.
I was going to say legitimate purposes, whether it might be related to serious work around the pandemic or diplomatic work around the pandemic or something like that. So, but 20,000 is a lot of diplomats, isn't it?
It is. It is. Now, my idea for local manufacturing, and I actually suggested this some years ago when I worked in the car industry to Mark Butler, and that was, in Australia, we have all the materials needed and the technology and the expertise to make batteries, not car batteries.
Yes.
Electric car batteries.
Yeah, the lithium.
And Australia could do this, and you could actually provide an incentive. There could be a government incentive, you know, accelerated write-off of the equipment, provided the battery, including the labour, had 80% local content.
Mm-hmm.
That would encourage it. Yet I know when this was raised with the government, oh, they poo-pooed it. So what we're doing is, you know, we dig and ship. Why can't we create things like that in Australia?
Dig and make.
Dig and make.
Yeah, we should dig and make. And you've nailed it, because we need to actually move up the value chain, or the supply chain and the value, add value to the value chain, as it were, to use that lingo, which is to make things, to use our technical skills, our corporate skills, historical skills in manufacturing, to actually make things instead of just digging it out of the ground. And that is important, because it's actually important for us, not just economically, to create jobs, but also strategically, given the fact that the global situation is so volatile. The ability for us to make certain things that are important for our economy gives us that resilience when things go wrong. Hopefully we're okay, because we've got a supply chain. Now, you mentioned the batteries. We're one of the largest producers of lithium.
Yes.
In the world. I think we might be the largest. And you know, you dig it out of the ground and you sell it. I had the figure here. It's worth about $750 a ton.
Yeah.
In its raw form.
In its raw, yeah.
When you actually,
so all we do is just dig it and ship it overseas.
Correct. And then when you manufacture it into batteries, that same amount of lithium that was $750 a ton would be worth about $150,000.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me that we're not putting our effort into that kind of manufacturing.
I'm assuming that you'd want to actually encourage business to move into this space. How do you do that? How does government do that?
Well, I know we have a policy called the National Reconstruction Fund, which is $15 billion. Sounds like a big figure. That's made up of various types of guarantees, grants, co-investment, equity, low sort of interest loans and so on, to incentivize businesses to get into this space. Now, a lot of people are critical of this kind of support from government in manufacturing, because they say, oh, you're trying to pick winners. But here's the thing. I went to a couple of local manufacturers in North Coburg, a company called AeroChute. They make parachutes and gliders and all this kind of stuff. They make chairs for hospitals for people who are incapacitated, commodes.
Yep.
They make beds for people who have brain injury. They're just pumping it out of this little sort of workshop in North Coburg. And I said to him, the CEO, Stephen, I said, well, don't you want to expand and actually go? And he said, oh, we don't have the marketing capacity. We could probably employ 5 more people tomorrow to actually do this and produce these products. They're amazing products that they've developed, and it's this sort of ingenuity that you see of local engineers, people with technical skill who've been doing this. They do parachutes for testing of these bullets and all sorts of things for defence.
So why is not government actually, prioritising this sort of investment?
Because I think, Tass, you nailed it earlier. There is that sense of laziness, the sort of Menzian. Remember when Menzies? Well, you don't remember. You're too young, Tass.
I am. I don't remember Menzies.
Back in the '60s, you know, the old sheep.
Tass and I are only. I remember Menzies.
Do you, Macca?
I remember Menzies.
You look very young.
I remember when Harold Holt went for a swim, and there were helicopters and stuff. And my father said, if I went for a swim, didn't come back, they wouldn't send the army out to look for me. The bastards.
But back then it was the old criticism of, we're just riding off the sheep's back. We're not bothering to do anything more with the wool. We just shear it and sell it. It's the same mentality. It's just we dig stuff out of the ground and then we just sell it because we get all this money flowing through to the mining companies and the others that we sell it in its raw form. Manufacturing used to be about 30% of the GDP in this country. It has now, it's dropped down to 6%.
I know, 6.5%. It's dreadful.
And we are exposed because of the fact that those supply chains that we rely on as a trading nation, where we import so many important things, we are exposed. So this is actually an issue of national interest. Well, we need to invest.
We import almost everything now. I mean, we've now become largely a logistics nation.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure that we're actually very good at that either, to be quite honest.
Yeah, the import, I'm not arguing against importing products and trade. We're a trading nation.
But you need a balance, don't you? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think you need a balance, and you also need to think about resilience in those supply chains and diversification of those supply chains, because as we know, the volatility of the circumstances in the Asia Pacific are such that we might be caught out.
Now, Peter, I'm going to change the topic.
Sure.
One of our listeners, 317, who I haven't heard from for a while, so
is
lovely
that their name, a number?
Well, it's the last three digits of their phone number. We don't know who they are. We know nothing about them, but we know that they love us and we love them even more because they're quite prolific in their commentary. Nevertheless, 317 is asking you to comment on the Julia Banks story during the week.
Oh, yes.
What are your reflections on that?
Well, I think it's interesting because someone asked me about this yesterday, that will this have an impact on the Liberals? It may very well further damage them and remind the same people, I'm talking about a political answer here, the same people who are already pissed off with Morrison and the coalition for not handling sexual harassment and issues of gender in the workforce and harassment in a way that is already been done, and I don't think will have a political impact. If 317's question is about whether this makes a difference, you know, it's going to make a difference in some of these Liberal seats like Kooyong and so on. People are going to get a bit upset about the Libs. But is it enough to actually get them to vote elsewhere and change the, you know, the person, the Liberal MP that's there to a Labor MP? I don't think so.
This is a question for me, not from 317, but does anything stick to this government?
This is the... I'm frustrated. It's like a Teflon.
No, it's actually better than Teflon. They need to actually work out how to market this as a product.
Yeah.
Because politicians around the world would love to have this ability.
How I think part of it, not your media, but part of it is the fracturing of the media. I mean, all media is fractured right now. So we're trying to get these messages out and the sports rorts and the sexual harassment and all of these issues. And yet, it's so dispersed, the messaging. Mm. It comes through, people pick up through different media platforms and social media and so on. And there's not a concentration, I think, of the key points that people cut through. And that allows Morrison, frankly, with his focus groups, to narrow cast. I'll give you a perfect example of this if I can. All the women in my office, and mainly I have women in my office, all the women in my office when the Brittany Higgins stuff happened were absolutely outraged. Absolutely outraged, all of them. That didn't matter the age group. One of the older women in the office, not, she's not that old, she'd get upset with me, I said she was old, but out in the suburbs.
She's not going to vote for him, is she?
No, she's not. But here's the thing. When he came out and talked about his mum and his daughters and stuff, she felt sorry for him. And the younger women were like, oh, I can see right through that. But she felt sorry for him. And so there are women in Australia who are like, I know there are men in my lives who are less than perfect. You know, I'm going to give them a bit of a go, look after them, that kind of thing. That's who Morrison is narrow casting to.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because he's getting out of responsibility for this. I'm shocked, by the way. When I first came into Parliament, I'm like, I'd worked at SBS and I'd worked in the public sector and the private sector where you have third-party mechanisms, a HR department, a legal department that actually address sexual harassment.
If I did,
we don't have that at Parliament.
If I did a tenth of the things that this government does, I'd be sacked in every job that I've ever done.
Well, I know.
I mean, the sort of behaviours of dishonesty, you know, hiding the truth, the rorting, all of those sorts of things are completely unprofessional. So not acceptable in any work environment.
Do you think the public then are of a view that they're indifferent to politics? They're so indifferent to politics.
I'm not a politician. That's a question for you.
Well, when I talk to people in the street, you get a spectrum. Some people are really all over it and outraged. Then there's another group that are just, I don't care. I don't even know what you're talking about. They're indifferent to it almost.
It's that Dorby uncle.
Well, Misha Ketchell in this very studio did say that what Morrison's doing is specifically speaking to a younger male audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And resonating very well. And in fact, his polls are quite strong amongst that cohort. Yes, a bit of a shift away from younger women. I think younger women probably expect more from their leaders. Mm. But younger males seem to actually like the attitude and the approach.
Well, I think that's probably right. And they're probably doing all their focus groups and narrow casting their message for that. Can I just say one more thing? This is a prime minister, by the way. I know you've done all those things that you've mentioned. On foreign policy, he can't even get the policy between Taiwan and Hong Kong straight. Like, he confuses it. And this is 3 years in as a prime minister. 3 years in as a prime minister.
Buy him an atlas. Now, we've got a message from a listener, and I am going to read this out. This was about our comments about people coming into Australia, and it's from a listener, Doug. Doug says it's not ridiculous. He just finished 8 weeks' work at Docklands. The amount of money, and it's millions, that this production spent locally should not be dismissed as ridiculous. The arts community's had nothing. Let's focus on sport for once. And he's a bit upset that we sort of took this line. Doug, I think the entertainment industry, yes, it has done it hard, and I'm sorry that you took it like that. We're talking about what had been in the media. 20,000 people is a lot of people, and I think the arts has been a very small component of that. So I'm sorry you took it that way. That's not what we meant.
Can I say something to Doug?
Sorry?
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Doug is right because the arts have copped it.
Yeah.
Like, there's been no support for the arts. But within the arts community, and I've met a lot of film producers and directors and artists and so on in live entertainment, in film production and so on. There is also a question around making Australian content.
Yes.
So you get these big Hollywood producers, they are providing jobs.
Yes.
In Queensland and other studio places and whatever, and that's great. But we cannot allow it just to be that. We want to make Australian content and provide jobs and opportunities for Australian filmmakers.
Yeah.
Peter, we're out of time, unfortunately. Great having you in the studio. Great actually to finally meet you in person.
Yeah, lovely to meet you.
We know the voice, but to actually meet you is a... I'm
dressed up in my Saturday finest.
Yeah, you're looking great. You're looking great.
No one's going to know.
Well, I often say to Macro, I do have a face for radio.
It's a bit self-deprecating.
It is.
Mean on yourself.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.